Everyone,
good morning.
Good to see your smiling faces this morning. What I'd like to speak about this morning are some of the visual demonstrations of God's power. Now, many of us believe that God's created the world and the heavens and so on. Some people wonder if He exists. I want to show you some of the verses in the Bible and some of the happenings that happened to prove about God's power to human beings like us. First one I'd like to talk to you is about in Exodus chapter 7, and we'll read a portion here. Exodus 7. This is about Pharaoh and the children of Israel in Egypt. And starting verse 9. When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you, then shalt thou say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they did in like manner with their enchantments, for they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. Now here's a happening that happened to the children of Israel when they were in Egypt. And Pharaoh wanted some miracle or something to show that God was really God. So whenever you get into that situation to prove that God is really God, you're asking for something. And these men there in Pharaoh's court were saying, well, we can do whatever Moses and Aaron can do. The Lord told Moses and Aaron to put down his rod on the ground. And when it was down on the ground, it became a serpent, a snake. It was wriggling around. So the people of Egypt, the magicians, says they did in like manner with their enchantments. They did something like that too. But then it says that God's working here, and the snake, the serpent that Moses and Aaron had, went around and ate up all the other serpents that the people had. So these people weren't going to get away with anything with the Lord, because the Lord was mightier than they are. The next one I'd like to point out is in Exodus 14. This happened now when the children of Israel were in Egypt. And Moses was calling out to Pharaoh to let his children go, let the people go into the wilderness. And he wouldn't do it. But after all these plagues that happened to these people, the Egyptians, they found out that God was really God. But the last thing that happened was that as Pharaoh's army chased after the Egyptians as they were going to cross the Red Sea. But Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, verse 13, stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you this day. And in verse 21, it says, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry land, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked upon the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and the cloud, and counted, had troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, and they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." Down in verse 30. The Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. Israel saw the great work that the Lord did upon the Egyptians. People feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Here was a great thing that happened. This million of people were on the shore, wanted to cross over the Red Sea to go into the Promised Land. And when they were at that point, Moses said to them, "Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish this day." So all of a sudden, there was an opening in the Red Sea, and Moses and the people, about a million of them, crossed over on dry land over into the wilderness. And then the army of Pharaoh thought, "Well, we'll fall after them. We'll catch them anyway." So they tried to catch them. When they got into the middle of the Red Sea, the Lord closed the waters again, and they all drowned. It says their the wheels of the chariot drove heavily. So they got stuck in the water of the Red Sea, and they were all drowned. The Lord said to Moses, "Those Egyptians you see today, you won't see them anymore." So that's what happened to these people who were trying to follow after Moses and the Lord's people. Now over to Judges chapter 7. I'll read a few verses, not the whole thing. In verse 4, the Lord said unto Gideon, "The people are yet too many. Bring down them into the water, and I will show them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, and the same shall go with thee. Whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, same shall not go with thee." And we find that the Lord chose, in verse 7, "By 300 men that left will I give, save you, and deliver the Midianites into thy hand." Now we find in chapter 8, and verse 10. "Now Zeba and Zalmunna were in Karkar, and their hosts with them, about 15,000 men, all that were left of all the hosts of the children of East, for there fell 120,000 men that day that drew the sword." So there were 120,000 plus the 15,000, comes to 135,000 people were all destroyed by 300 men that the Lord chose to save them. That's all the Lord wanted to have with these Israel people. He said, "I don't want to get too many people. You think you did it yourself. You think that you and your own strength caused these people to be dead. But I'm going to do it with just a few." And so this is a great happening here that happened when Gideon destroyed 135,000 Midianites with 300 men of God. You know, 1 Samuel chapter 5. First Samuel chapter 5. This is about the Philistines and about the Ark of God. It says, and the Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. When the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. Now he was the god of the Philistines. And one day of Ashdod arose early on the morrow. Behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the Ark of God. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. When they arose early on the morrow morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the Ark of the Lord. And the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. Here we have that case where the Ark of God was brought by the Philistines into their house of God, the temple of their God, which was Dagon. Now Dagon had the head of a man and the tail of a fish. That was their god. That was who they were bowing down to. So you could see the Lord wasn't going to stand for this, to have the Ark of the Lord in this house of Dagon, this false god, when they put them both in their place. So they came in the morning, they found out Dagon was falling off the pedestal where he was, and they thought, oh, he fell down, if we'll go and put him up again. So they put him up again. The next day they came to see him, and he was falling, his arms were broken off, and he couldn't fix him anymore. That was the end of Dagon. So the power of the Lord was shown in this day through these Philistines. And 1 Kings 18. Read verse 21. These people with Israel were at a choosing point when they were told, how long do you halt between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him. And the people answered not a word. Now we have this demonstration when they made sort of a test. They said, we have our altar here of our the god of Baal, and the other one, which were over here for Elijah. And all day long they cried out to their God to save them and to cause fire to come down and consume the altar. And it didn't come down. Remember that Elijah said, well, call louder, maybe he's asleep or something, or maybe he's on a trip. Just do something, keep going at it. They wanted it all day long. It doesn't get anywhere. Because it was a god, it was a dead god. there was no such thing as this God. And so we turn then to verse 36. It came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art the God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell, and consumed the burnt offering sacrifice, and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is a God. So this demonstration by the power of God showed that God was going to stand up for his prophet, Elijah, and do what he asked him to do, which was have the fire come down and consume the burnt offering that Elijah had on the altar. Whenever there's a demonstration between God and some false thing, God is willing to stand up for his people and do the thing that is right, and to show his almighty power to everyone. Then Isaiah 38. Isaiah 38. In those days, in the first verse, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him, said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord, and said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and of a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add to thee thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and the city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he hath spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the decrees, which is gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down. Do any of you know what a sundial is? These present days of all these trinkets that we have, I don't think anybody has seen these lately. There's a sundial in the cemetery across the road from where I live. What it is, it's like a slanted vertical rod that sticks up, and around the outside of it there's all these different times of day. And when you hold this up like that and the sun comes at a certain angle onto this rod and it points down here, it tells you what time of day it is. Except I don't think daylight saving time was figured into this one. Anyway, it works. I was over there. I've seen it different times. So God said to Hezekiah, make sure he knows about this, that I'm going to give him 15 more years of life so he doesn't die. And I'm going to change the sundial 10 degrees backward. Instead of going forward, it's going to go backward. Now, this is a miracle that happened. I don't know how it happened, but somehow God made it happen. The sundial went back 10 degrees. Instead of going forward 10 degrees, it went backward, showing that God was in charge of the sun, the moon, the stars, and people, and everything else in this world. Then shall we turn to Matthew 27. Matthew 27. Reading at verse 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. This is the time of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with vinegar, and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. The graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. And when the centurion, they that were with him, watching Jesus, and saw the things, the earthquake, and the things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly this was the Son of God. Now in the first place, we find the Lord Jesus on the cross, being crucified, and he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the reason he was forsaken was because he was bearing the sin of the world. He was bearing your sins and my sins on the cross of Calvary in order that we might be saved. He was bearing our sins. And then to show that he was still in charge of everything, when they heard they crying out, is Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is the Aramaic words. When it says Eli, Eli, they thought he meant he's calling for Elijah to come and save him. It wasn't that at all. He was calling to the Lord God, his own, why has you forsaken me? And so now the Lord starts in. And it says, the veil of the temple was rent and torn. It was torn from top to bottom. This thick curtain that was in the temple of God was torn, it says, from the top to the bottom. Now that veil kept people out of the presence of God. Now that it was torn, it was going to be opened up so that people could go into the presence of God. And it was done from top to bottom, showing that God did it. God tore this veil from top to bottom. Now it says the earth did quake. Earthquake. And the rocks rent. The rocks were strewn about. It says the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who slept arose. Now we find people coming out of the graves and going after the resurrection into Jerusalem and appeared unto many. Can you imagine what was happening? People said, wait a minute, I thought this person died. We buried him already. Now he's running around here in Jerusalem. How is it possible? How could it happen? because God was showing his power. And so these people ran around in the holy city of Jerusalem and appeared unto many. And then the Roman centurion, they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake. And those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Can you imagine anybody standing out against God under these circumstances and saying, I won't have him, I don't believe in him? What has he got to do to show you that he's God? So he showed them that he was God. Then we're in Acts chapter 12. Peter was put into prison. Reading at verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, and bound with two chains, and the keepers of the door kept the prison. Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and the light shined in the prison, and smote Peter on the side, and raised him up, saying, Rise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself, and bind down thy sandals. And so it was. And he said unto him, Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord, and went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. Here's a case where Peter was in prison, the angel came, said, Get rest, you're going out. Says the gates opened of its own accord. I wonder by who. By God. It opened up its own accord. And when Peter got out, it says, then he realized that the Lord had sent his angel to open the doors of the prison, and out he came. So those are some of the Bible happenings. I got to tell you one of my own now. Back in 1937, I was 18 years old. And I was an apprentice machinist in General Electric. There were about 200 apprentices at that time. We occupied two floors of Building 7. And I met a couple of Christians there. And we used to go back to the back of the building. There was a welding room there, and we would sit in there, eat our lunch, and read some from the scriptures. And when we walked down the aisle of the factory, there were machines on both sides, some guys used to call out, say, Here comes the Holy Ghost. Hey, Reverend, hey. And they were calling out to us I don't know what they thought we were going to do, back down, because they were calling us like that. We weren't backing down. So when we got in the back, and the men's room was there. We came to wash up and go to the bathroom. These three guys came, that they called us names, with tomatoes, and threw tomatoes at us in the men's room. We got pelted, pelted with these tomatoes. Well, I thought, nobody can stand for this. And, well, I think we told the foreman what these guys did to us, but he just said, well, boys will be boys. Well, that wasn't a thing. It was that somebody was challenging the Lord in our meetings where we had fellowship in the back. So shortly after that, one of the fellows that threw tomatoes got his hand caught in the machine. He got his hand broken. The second one got his hand caught in the machine. He got his arm broken. The third one was trying to get some heavy metal steel bars out of a rack, and it fell on him and cut four fingers off his hand. And he ran to the hospital all he could with his hand dripping blood. And I thought, the Lord is real. He's not going to let this go. So somebody turned a verse up to me. Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 17. It says, for the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. I was only 18 at that time, and I could see that the Lord was acting for me and my friend, the two of us. They got pelted with the tomatoes. So that from that time on, I could see, why was it just those three that got their arms broken? Because of what it says in the word here. The arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord was going to have us have our little meetings, and nobody was going to be yelling at us anymore. No tomatoes at us anymore. And we were going to stand up there, walk down the aisle of the shop to our meetings. People could look on us and see, there they go again to their meetings. But we held their meetings and so on. And a strange thing happened after that. I was in the group where they had the lathes, maybe 30 people of us. And these things were going on about people getting their arms broken, and the instructor was a little old guy, English, in his 60s, I think. One day he couldn't take it anymore, and he fainted, fell on the floor in the shop. And we got the ambulance for him. And he says, I can't take this. All these young guys on these machines, they don't know what they're doing. And they're getting injured. And so he says, I think what I should do is have an assistant instructor. And he came to me and he says, will you be one? So I became his assistant instructor on the lathes, teaching them how to run the lathes. And I was a apprentice myself. They made me assistant to the instructor. So somehow the Lord works in mysterious ways. And I thought I should tell you about it. Because he works in our lives. It's not just what's in the Old Testament or New Testament, but he works in our lives to show that he's God. And he showed me. From that time on, I didn't doubt it at all. So may we learn the lesson from that, that God is God, and he will do what he will for his own. And we give thanks. Our Father, we thank thee now for the fact that thou art God. And thou, Lord, to show thy power in many ways, not just in the Old Testament, but right here in this place, even in GE, where thou can show thy power. So we thank thee, Lord, for it, and pray that we may trust thee as we were singing, that thou art faithful. We can say amen. Lord, thou truly art faithful, God. Thank you, Lord, that we're here today. May we learn this lesson and go forth to serve thee. In thy own precious and holy name, Lord Jesus, we give thanks. Amen. Let's turn number 588. Number 588. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. 588.
Let your sad kindred go.
forth with the Lord's blessing today.